popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett and Ben with you for yet another week. Round 7 is in the book and we head towards round 8. What a round it was. COVID affected by many clubs, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. All teams have now got a win. Ben, you're going to give us a bit of a rundown on that later on as well.
Absolutely. The drive down the Forest Highway from the Southwest Slammers was the best one they've had in season 2022.
Well, here's what happened to the Geraldton Buccaneers. We mentioned the COVID situation up there. On the weekend, they had 2 score bench officials, 2 statisticians, 10 support staff, bar staff, canteen operators, door staff, commentators, courtside announcer, and both of their physios all out with COVID. A few players supposedly affected as well. They ran with just 9, and the D-League game got cancelled, so I think they were lucky to even get that game up and running. On top of that, they got the win.
They beat them in form, Magic, Brett Costello. And one thing I want to give a shout out to is they won without Cam Coleman, which was fantastic to see. And there were some new names. The other thing is they went with 9 players, as you mentioned, and Ryan Blanchard, former Eastern Suns player. He had 26 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, played 37 minutes. If you'd spoken to him on Monday, that's his stat line. That's how many minutes he'd been playing. He had a breakout game and his best one yet for the Geraldton Buccaneers.
Suppose we have to give a special shout out to Marcus Langshaw and Josh Marshall, a couple of the guys who, on behalf of the league, drove all the way up to Geraldton from Perth at the last minute to do their stats role. So a big thank you to those guys on behalf of the league, and Adam Bowler in there at head office for really making it all come together.
And mate, there is no one better in the business at stats than Marcus Langshaw. I'm putting it out there right now for all our listeners that 2022 awards for the BWA NBL One West, it should be the Marcus Langshaw Statistician of the Year Award. I'm putting it on record. Hopefully Adam's listening along.
I'm sure a lot of clubs would have perhaps pulled the pin or decided to forfeit, but I guess when you've got that 7-0 record, you just want to get out on the court. And following that great win, they're top of the table, an 8-0 record so far, unbeaten in season 2022.
I say it each and every week, when our regional teams are playing well, it's great for our league.
A little bit later on this hour, we'll be speaking with Perth Wildcats and Willerton Tigers player Ollie Hayes-Brown. On the girls' side, we hope to chat to Christina Bogue from the Rockingham Flames. And former Joondalup Wolves women's coach Charles Nix will join us ahead of his trip across the ditch. He's going to be coaching over there in New Zealand. And something caught your eye across the weekend, Ben?
Brett, the Warwick Senators basketball organisation are flying right now. Janelle Morley has got her women's team going from strength to strength. They added Sam Rusko. They've now got the 3 bigs, Burden, Rusko and Clinch Hoikart, and of course the men's side. It'd be hard to miss them. They are the most informed team over the men's side right now. I've said it last week, I'll say it again this week, but with Kyle Zunick at the point guard position and Luke Brennan their coach, they are flying in season 2022.
We've got all that and more yet to come on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back. It's your favourite NBL One West player's favourite radio show. We touched on it already. Your game of the round, you're giving the call on KO there for the Warwick Senators versus the Perry Lakes Hawks. The Senators getting up in both of those games, in fact, and really putting the Hawks in their place on the Friday night.
Yeah, we spoke about it earlier, Brett, about the 3 bigs now and the rotations that Coach Morley has in Burden, Clinch Hoikart, and Rusko coming into the lineup, her junior club, of course, and just the ability for them to always have 2 of them on the floor. And we saw Chloe Forster had a good game. She started out quite early, really put the finishing touches on it late. Stacey Barr was really good for them, clinical from start to finish. And yeah, the Perry Lakes Hawks really struggled to score, and that's that defensive pressure. And someone also that probably doesn't get a lot of the attention, but Nicole Jordesen-Jaw, she starts at the 2 for them, and she just has this ability to be this sort of calming presence and always gets them into their offense.
Now, there was some monumental and almost history-breaking news across the weekend, of course, as well.
Last Friday night at Herb Grand Recreation Centre, history was made. On 2019, that's right, June 22, 2019, was the last time our Southwest Women's Slammers won. And on Friday night, they got the win against the East Perth Eagles, 84-82. Let me tell you what's happened since then. The Boomers have won bronze. We've had COVID. Liz Cambridge, well, now no longer plays for the Australian Opals. We've had two Prime Ministers, and we've had the introduction of the NBL One West. I've been saying it for weeks now. People have called me crazy that the Southwest Slammers' first victory for their women's team is just around the corner. I had a lot of people saying that I was just saying that to be nice, but I generally believed once you added Carter and once you added Cipitone, it took the stress off everybody else, drew more attention to them, and eventually they would be able to get the X's and O's right and get a win on the board.
Well, certainly makes sense, and I think you mentioned off air that they haven't had a victory in the 2020 or 2021 season, so this has been a long time coming.
Absolutely, and look, they've had some changes in coaches. They had a change in coach from last season to this season, then they've already had a change in coach this season, and they have now, of course, Coach Bisaka at the helm. But one thing I wanted to highlight here, and we had Alex Cipitone on a few weeks ago here on the show, and talked about what changes do you make and not making about the win-loss comment. She talked about reducing the amount of turnovers, increasing what we shoot from the free throw percentage, increasing the amount of looks we get and getting into our offense. And I want to draw your attention to two players. Now, we can look at Carter and we look at Cipitone, but let's look at number 9, Skye Palmer. She had 11 points, 4 of 7. She shot at 50% from the three-point line. She had 3 assists, and her plus-minus when she was on the floor was plus 10. The second person I want to look at is Javine Fitch. She had 14 points, 6 of 13. She had 8 rebounds, 3 offensive. And the one thing I like about those two individuals is that those games, the pressure on young players when they don't have those stars, they look different. So 2.5 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, we're looking, Brett, at that those players have to have 15, 7, and 5 for an opportunity for the Southwest Slammers to be in contention. We're looking at both of those players putting up double digits points, getting those 7, 8 rebounds on those 5 assists. You bring in Tylan Carter, you bring in Alex Cipitone, they play their role, and then it allows Skye Palmer and Javine Fitch to play their role as well. So it's great for it. Of course, we have to acknowledge Tylan Carter. She had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. And Alex Cipitone, 10 of 16. She was 2 of 6 on the three-point line, but she had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Congratulations to the Southwest Slammers. First win in the NBL One West competition.
And the men, they also managed to get a win and open their account as well, of course.
Well, they proved me wrong, Brett Costello, because you asked me last week, do I think they can get their first win? I thought with the likes of Justin King, it's Justin King or bust, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but he had 16 points, didn't shoot that great from the field. He had 14 rebounds, but let's turn our attention to the Southwest Slammers. And look, starts with Brody England, one of their young juniors. He was 7 of 22 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He had a steal. Corey Richardson chipped in. He had 11 rebounds, which is probably a game high for him. And, of course, they had some contributions as well from their bench. Tanner Vogel, one of their young juniors, originally from Busselton, has 9 points, 5 rebounds. And, look, again, it's one of those things where there's a will, there's a way. They've been chipping away. They play. It was probably their first four-quarter effort in season 2022.
Well, it's all about the Southwest Slammers in round 7, that's for sure. A couple of great wins for them. We'll be back after the break to speak with Ollie Hayes-Brown, that guy who's been spending some time with the Perth Wildcats, recently re-signed with them, and currently starring for the Willerton Tigers in the NBL One West.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
All your local basketball action, it is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello, Ben Pether with you, and we're joined on the line this time by Wildcats player as well as Willerton Tigers player, Ollie Hayes-Brown. Welcome along to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, pleasure. Now, look, we're all about the NBL One West, of course, but it'd be remiss of us not to touch on your re-signing at the Wildcats first, of course, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks guys. It was really sort of exciting. I think I had a pretty good year of sort of training there and learned a lot. So yeah, I'm happy that they chose to take me on for another year.
Well, hopefully this year you'll get to show a little bit more of your wares out on the court, as you sort of alluded to, I guess, a lot of hard work and time spent training. We'd love to be able to see some of the fruits of that labour during next season at least.
If I can help out the team win, then I guess that's great. But, yeah, it's all up to what Scott thinks, of course. But, yeah, I would love to play.
Ollie, Ben Pether here. Mate, you had some injuries with your involvement with the Perth Wildcats, and it's good to see you back now, fit and healthy, representing the Willetton Tigers. Just talk a little bit about those injuries, those frustrations, and coming out of that now, how is the body feeling?
Yeah, so I hurt my knee in the warm-ups towards the late end of the year. And it was just on a really silly thing. It was on like a layup, I think. And I just landed on it funny. And I was out for about 3 or 4 weeks there. And then I've been recovering along with that pretty well in the weight room about 3 or 4 times a week, just working that back up. And yeah, I'm pretty much back to full health now with everything. So it feels really great to be able to, you know, feel strong again.
Fantastic to hear. And obviously, you're originally at Dandenong Rangers Junior, and you spent time in the US at UC Riverside. The California weather, the Perth weather, as opposed to Victoria, you must be loving your time here on the West.
I am, yeah. Well, I mean, the weather here has been pretty exceptional, except for, I guess, the past 24 hours. It's been raining and hail, so I don't know what you guys have sort of sprung on me, but no, it has been great here.
And, of course, one of your teammates now, the Willetton Tigers, Hunter Clark. What's it like playing alongside him and obviously having that experience of him being from the East Coast as well and you fitting in sort of seems almost simultaneously and really slotted in there with the Tigers?
Yeah, I've known Hunter through a couple of Australian teams and that. So we have had that history. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a great overall player. He has really great IQ, and I think no one on our team is really that selfish. So for him to sort of run our offenses and stuff, it's working great for us, yeah.
It'd be remiss of me not to mention the hair, of course, the mullet. Is there anything inspiring the locks? And we see the Willetton faithful rocking the mullets themselves, supporting you down there. Is it going to come off for charity at one point, or are we going to grow it all the way out?
I don't know. It's sort of just been a thing that I've just sort of let fly. I shaved my hair about 3 years ago off completely, and I've just been trimming the sides a bit now, so I've just been sort of letting it grow. But yeah, I mean, I think eventually I will have to sort of maybe trim it or shave it all off again, because it is getting pretty long now. So if that can be for a charity of any sake, then yeah, I think that would be great.
Looking back to the weekend, it was a good win for you guys over Lakeside and a pretty great individual performance, that double-double of 24 points and 18 rebounds.
Yeah, I think it was a great team win. I think Lakeside had a couple of their imports out. Not to say that we sort of thought it was going to be an easy game, but I don't think we really expected them to come out with that sort of punch. I think it was pretty close to even at halftime, and then at halftime, we sort of gave them a lot more respect and were able to come out in that second half and obviously have a nice lead over them. But yeah, I mean, with me, I sort of just let it come to me. I don't really take that many shots. Sort of just wherever I can help out, yeah, is what I try to do.
Looking towards this weekend, I see you guys have got the Rockingham Flames, and they've, of course, got big Tommy Jervis, who's probably one of the guys in the league who can actually match you for a little bit of size. And what's your expectations of that game on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think that should definitely be a pretty hard one. I think they're third or fourth on the ladder now, so I'm sure we'll have a pretty good week of scout on them, and then hopefully come out. I believe we play on Saturday and, yeah, come out with the win. But, yeah, I think they've got a couple of really strong players on their side, so it'll certainly be a pretty interesting one to play in.
And you turned 22 last month. You've got a big future ahead of you, Ollie. In regards to your development thus far, as we mentioned previously, you spent time in the US collegiate system over the Dandenong Rangers. Who thus far has had a big impact on your career individually that we might not know about and helping that launch into what should be successful in the years to come?
I had a personal trainer back in Melbourne, which his nickname was Rocky. And I was working with him for about 2 or 3 years in the off-seasons. and maybe four or five times a week. And he was just an animal on me. So probably a lot of my strength credit is for him. But overall skill and everything, I mean, UCR helped me out heaps with just training there every day. And I think I went over there like a pretty frail kid, and I came back probably two or three times stronger than what I was. So, yeah, I mean, it is just years, you know, sort of just putting it on. But, yeah, there's a lot of great people.
I can't imagine the frail kid version of Ollie Hayes-Brown, having only known you since you've joined the Wildcats. I'm trying hard to imagine that kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to find some of it somewhere, but yeah, no, I was certainly very pretty skinny.
We might have to head to Google for that one before too long. Now, I know you've got training this evening, so Coach is going to be anxiously waiting your arrival, so we really do appreciate your time to have a bit of chat about Wildcats and, of course, the Willerton Tigers in the NBL 1 West, and good luck for the weekend.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk bill Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. All your local basketball action. Ben and Brett with you, and we've got Ben Pether with his regular starting five segment, this time with a little bit of a twist.
We talk about the starting five. We've done a few different ones. We talked about breakout seasons this week, and throughout the weekend as I made my way around to different NBL One West games, I was thinking about it. These are my starting five, Bryce or bust. Now, to give you a bit of context, last season in the NBL One West, throughout the calls, there was talk about the Boomers, there was talk about the Opals with the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, and then I always talk about the Perth Wildcats season. Now, the Perth Wildcats, Bryce Cotton is their number one player, and without Bryce, they're bust. They are Bryce or bust. I talked about it with the Boomers, however, and I said it was Paddy Mills or bust, and they won the bronze medal. Well, I'm going with right now, Bryce or bust for the NBL One West, the five teams with the five most important players to that organization. And we're going to start with number one, Stacey Barr, Warwick Senators. Right now, Stacey Barr is averaging for the Warwick Senators 26 points a game, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. She's shooting at 44% from the field. And she, when she's out, the Warwick Senators, I don't think they win. Some people will question me on that one. That's why I started with that. Number two, Mac Dyer, Perth Redbacks. Yeah, that's right. Mac Dyer, she is a walking bucket. 23 points a game, 4 rebounds, nearly 3 assists, going at 35%. The team started out slow at the Perth Redbacks, but without Mac Dyer on the floor, I can't see them winning the game. Number three, the veteran. Down the Forest Highway at the Mandurah Magic, Casey Milo. She played more games in the NBL One West and the WSBL than anybody else. She's averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists for 42% from the field. Without Milo, there's no Magic. Let's turn our table to for our 4 and 5 position, turning to our men's side. We're looking at Coburn Cougars, Gav Field. Bobby Field, to many. Gav Field right now in season 2022, averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, going at 45% from the field. There is no Coburn Cougars without Gavin Bobby Field, and he is the glue for that team. For our fifth player of our starting five, Bryce or bust. The East Perth Eagles have only had one win in season 2022, and they've had 7 losses. But without Justin King, they are bust. They require Justin King to shoot above 41%. He needs to shoot a minimum of 18 shots per game. And without Justin King, East Perth Eagles, that's my bust. He is the most important player to that team. Special mentions, he's not playing this season, Brett Costello, but the all-time Bryce or bust in the former SBO and the NBL One West, Jared Prue for the Lakeside Lightning. Now, Jared Prue averaged for his career just under 25 rebounds. No, I've got that wrong. But it almost felt like that. But there would be seasons that he went plus 10 offensive rebounds. When your team's getting 10 extra shots, Jared Prue, most important player ever to that Lakeside Lightning franchise. And special mention, while we're talking about the players, most important coach to their organization, Luke Brennan to the Warwick Senators. What he has done with that team and turned them completely around with adding Kyle Zunick, adding Brian Michaels, and seeing him on Friday and Saturday night with his first assistant with championship experience, Steve Charlie Charlton. That combination of that coaching staff and the most important to their team in the Bryce or Bust category.
As Ben Ettridge used to sometimes say last year, Prue used to get a rebound or two from the statistician just as he walked into the building. So I think you're probably not wrong on those. All-time Hall of Fame, Bryce or Bust from Prue there. Also a bit of a special mention to some of our guys around the league are struggling. It seems to be some type of a flu going on at the moment. It's not COVID, but we tried to speak to Vigor tonight. He had some type of a flu going on. Seva Chan with his 250th, tried to speak to him. No luck. Tried to speak to Adam Thosby from the Perry Lakes Hawks. Couldn't get any of these guys. All lost their voice. All under the weather. So we wish them all well. We do have coming up a little bit later on in the show, however, Christina Bogue will join us from the Rockingham Flames. We've got Charles Nix before he makes his way over to New Zealand for a coaching gig over there. And of course, we've got more NBL One West action to come for you as well.
Let's get this thing started.
The all new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. We're now pleased to be on the line with Christina Bogue from the Rockingham Flames after a good win on the weekend. Welcome along to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Well, you got a good one over the Coburn Cougars on the weekend and included some pretty big scores from a couple of your girls as well. Talk us through that one.
Absolutely. Coburn's had a very good start to their season and they're a very strong team. So I knew it was going to be a tough one. So coming in, we kind of just had a game plan and we kind of stuck to it, which is really, really good. But Paddy had a massive game with 41 points. So she just, yeah, was killing it. So it was good for her to have that because she'd been, I think, struggling with a few little nigglies lately. So it was good for her to have that rest and then come back even stronger this week.
Well, you mentioned Paddy. Some people may not know who that is. Patricia Brossman, you're referring to. And she's a girl who we spent a little bit of time Googling, obviously from Germany originally and spent some time in college in the States as well. And we noticed she hadn't played a lot of games, so that's maybe what you're speaking to there. She had to have a bit of time off with that injury?
No, not really. It's just I think getting hit in a few games consistently, it was just getting a bit sore, so it was good just to have a break and refresh and come back all good. So no, but Marin also had an awesome game as well, so it's good for both our imports to show what they can do, and they're a huge part of this team.
Christina Bogue, Ben Pether here. Just touching on, you've had WNBL experience with the Sydney Uni Flames and the Townsville Fire. You've been over in the NCAA collegiate system. What have you enjoyed about being a part of the Rockingham Flames organisation here in season 2022?
I love the girls on the team. Like, the community's been amazing as well, and that's why I keep coming back. But I think just the girls in general, like, they've just, we're quite a close bunch, and it's hard to find that when you keep moving around from season to season. So just to find that click and just enjoy it with these girls, it's always fun to come back and start again.
Of course, a short trip down the Forest Highway at Manager Magic is your twin sister, Carly. You guys, there's a rivalry between Manager and Rockingham. I'm sure there's some friendly family rivalry as well. What's it like playing against your twin sister? And is it something that you look forward to or you don't look forward to? And is there any banter during the week in the lead up?
No, I hate it, to be honest. I think just because I think during college we loved it, just going at each other and stuff, but now I think we just want the best for each other, and like just having injuries and being older, I just don't like guarding her, even though I still won't let her beat me, and you know, we won't let each other score on each other, but like if she scores, I'm always like, yes, good on you, but now it's my turn. But no, I don't know, it's just, I think we're at that age where I think, I'd rather be on her team than against her. So unfortunately, that still hasn't happened for a few years, but who knows?
Thank you for your honesty on that. I appreciate that. And I guess there is that maturity that comes when we start to see basketball in a different way. And you mentioned there about in college. And then now, is it the hope to one day wear the same jersey and play alongside each other before your careers are done?
Yeah, I mean, always. Like, I love playing with her, and it definitely is so much more fun with her than against her. But hopefully one day. Hopefully soon, that'll be good.
And in particular for yourself, going into season 2022, we talked about Paddy Brosman. You're going to have Taya Burrows back, which I'm hearing. It looks like you guys are going to go from strength to strength after a rocky sort of start there at Rockingham. It looks like it's going to really start to come together throughout the mid part of the season.
Yeah, well, I think now that we've had that game under our belt and we've all played a couple of games together now, pretty much it's only going to get better from here. And I knew, like, the first month of our season was going to be a bit rough with just, like, imports coming at different times, me coming back from surgery. Like, I kind of just knew we were never going to be at the same level until we all have been together for a couple of weeks. So now that we're there, I think, yeah, we can only get better and better.
It doesn't get any easier for you this weekend. You've got the defending champs and one of the form teams at the moment sitting second on the ladder, the Willetton Tigers, of course.
Yep. Yeah, they're always good, and they're just as good as last year, if not better. So definitely going to be a tough matchup, and we're going to have to play like that, like we did against Coburn last week, like we did this week. So,
well, thanks so much for your time, and good luck for the weekend against the Willetton Tigers. And we appreciate your chat, and particularly breaking your flow there during training as well.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show, all of your local basketball news and action. And we're joined on the line this time by Charles Nix. I'm going to have to give him a bit of an intro before I let him jump in and talk, because you may be familiar with him back to the SBL days as well. Head coach of the Perry Lakes men from 13 to 16. Slammers men's and coach of the year in 2017. Then moving across to the women with the Redbacks and more recently the Joondalup Wolves as well. And also, more recently, operations and logistics manager at the Perth Wildcats. You may have seen him on the bench there alongside the coaching team. And most recently, and I guess something else we'd like to talk to you about as well, Charles, head coach of the New Zealand Southern Hoihoa, which is a women's team in the New Zealand League as well. Welcome along to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm really excited. It's been a couple of years since I've been on, so I appreciate the call-up.
Well, it's a bit of a mouthful for me to get through all that. You're certainly a guy who's got your fingers in many basketball pies, so to speak.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate that over my time, I've had a bunch of opportunities, you know, at different organisations, and really had a chance to build a good positive profile within basketball in Western Australia and build some fantastic relationships with people from all over the place.
Now, I know Ben's going to probe into a few of those different opportunities, but firstly, obviously now taking a bit of a step back from the NBL One West this season with your commitments with the Wildcats initially and now with this New Zealand opportunity, what are you seeing from the league a little bit from a distance now?
I think that every single year, the quality of the league is improving, and it's, like, I think in the men's side, it's fantastic to see some of those DPs from the Wildcats stay in Perth, like Ollie Hayes-Brown and Kyle Zunick, and compete in our league. I think previously they've tended to go on home, so it's great to see those guys stay and compete. And then you look at the calibre of the women in the league this year. The imports seem, you know, like really, really high quality. And then obviously the Lynx doing so well, and the development that Ryan Petrick is putting into those Lynx girls has definitely improved the quality of the league in the female side as well. So I think basketball as a sport is definitely at a great place in Western Australia, and the NBL One, you know, creates a higher profile, and there's no excuse for players not to stay or players not to come to Perth now, because you're still getting that exposure nationally because of the way they broadcast the game. So yeah, it's in a really good spot. It's a really positive spot. I think the level of competition is great, and you look at the weekend, even the teams down in the Bunbury region, the Slammers teams both getting a win, can only be good for the league.
Charles, great to have you on the show. Ben Pethy here. We speak about the league and as it grows and develops, and you've been one to really sow into and give back to those people, those organisations, and filter down, and one of those, your assistants, Tim Renderleek, of course, is at the Kalamunda Eastern Suns now, and he took one of your point guard, Georgia Dennehy, from the Wolves with him as well, and Eleanor Hartle. Have you been following along the Suns, and is that, do you regularly chat with Tim about his progression and his development now as a head coach?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I'll always be there for anyone that's been involved in my programs previously, and I think all of us coaches, you know, want those people that have been involved with us for a long period of time to get those opportunities. And poor Tim's had a bit of a run where he had a bunch of his team out for COVID for an extended period of time, and he had an import that was coming out and hurt her knee, unfortunately, in her last game in Europe. So he was on the search for another import, and I think it's been a bit of a baptism of fire for Tim, but he's got a lot of support around him, and you know, I've got so much belief that he's the right person for that job, and he's already impacting the community and the club at the Suns in a really positive way. And he's a, like most of us, he's a real basketball junkie and loves the game, and he invests time in the game. And you know, he's one of those coaches that spends hours and hours and hours with his players outside of standard training sessions to help them on their individual skills. And I think in time it'll all come together. He's had a bit of a rough run, but I definitely keep an eye on him and wish him all the best. And I'm always available.
And you're heading over to New Zealand now for their new competition. What are you excited about that opportunity in a new league and unfamiliar territory, but an exciting opportunity for you?
Yeah, I feel like the thing that drew me to that particular role was the fact that Basketball New Zealand is really backing this league in and supporting the teams, both financially and obviously trying to draw the Tall Ferns back to play. So I feel like the level of competition is going to be really, really high. I think being a top league in a country drew me over, and some of the names that are being sort of announced, it's really exciting to see the quality coming back into New Zealand basketball, and even the coaches, like having Tully come back to the Southern Hemisphere and coach in that league is really exciting for obviously me being from WA as well and what she's done in her career. And yeah, I'm expecting it to be highly competitive with a high standard. And, you know, it's one of those leagues that everything's broadcast now. So it should be some really good exposure for not just the players, but the coaches, and hopefully bring New Zealand women's basketball back to the forefront of people's thoughts.
Are you familiar with any of the players that you'll be coaching over there, or are there names that we may be familiar with?
Yeah, I have recruited two players that have played in the SBL, NBL 1 West, previously. They haven't been announced yet, so I can't say them. But
fair enough.
I have recruited close to home with two of my imports. So they'll come over and they'll be a part of that league. So there will be some familiar faces on the court. And then I've got a few players with New Zealand international experience. There is Zoe Richards, who I can say she's been announced. So she played for the Rockingham Flames last year, and she's a New Zealand Tall Fern. So she's playing for us, which is pretty exciting. And in the mainland team, which is up in Christchurch, Mary Goulding, who played for East Perth, is playing for them as well. So there's some familiar faces that have played out west that are going to be playing in that league. And obviously Tully Bavalakwa is she's a Hall of Famer in West Australian basketball. So you know, she'll be a familiar face that people have seen before as well. So.
You've been listening to the voice of Coach Charles Nix. We'll take a short break and we'll be back with more on the NBL One West radio show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. We're still on the line with Coach Charles Nix. Now, I know that Ben wanted to ask you a little bit about the sort of Centre of Excellence program that WAIST is looking at setting up here in WA, particularly for female basketball, as I understand.
Yeah, it's. I think that's such a forward-thinking position to be putting in place. You know, with the success of the Lynx the last few years and the number of Opals that have come through the program, you know, and the facility that they have at WAIST. If you haven't been in there, the facility is world class. It's one of the best that I've ever seen. So, the fact that they're going to invest in someone within Western Australia to obviously identify and find female talent and develop them to, you know, with the ultimate goal of playing for the Opals is really exciting. It'll be an opportunity, I think, with some flow-on effects to the local league here as well in the NBL One, because, you know, players will want to come in and be involved in that program. So, you know, there'll be exposure for our league as well and additional, hopefully some additional talent coming into Perth, which should have all the coaches within WA and all the fans of the NBL One really excited that those players may be coming in.
Charles, the question I have in regards to, and with your expertise and seeing it, there's always, and I actually chatted to Fleur McIntyre about it last week on our show, about pathways for junior development, whether to stay here in Australia and go through the NBL 1 and the NBL DP positions and the WNBL DP positions, as opposed to going and doing the NCAA collegiate pathways. Do you see this as an opportunity for female athletes to stay here in WA and get that world-class facilities, resources, and coaching for their pursuit of a professional career in basketball?
Well, I think it will definitely be an option. I think, like with most things in basketball, it depends on the individual as well and their circumstances. I can't say that there's a foolproof way. Like, if you stay here or you go to college, like, some people are just going to make it no matter what decision they make. Some people, it could change their whole destiny if they head over to the States or they stay here. Like, so I think it really depends on the individual. I'm hoping and I'm sure that they'll find someone to run that program that'll be completely committed and focused on getting the most out of the athletes that come into that program. So, look, like, without knowing who it is or what, you know, what the program fully entails, like, I'd like to think that they could stay here as a really solid option to get them to the highest level. And from my understanding, it's about making the Opals, so staying here could be a better option because of that.
Certainly got a bit of a Back to the Future feel to it, because I'm old enough to remember the old Wace Warriors that, of course, came out of that Institute of Sport sort of program as well. We're trying to remember if that was a men's only program back in those days or if it was men's or women's. Are you going to reveal your age to see if you remember that one as well, Charles?
No, I actually can't. I can't. I knew that there was a high performance program that was basketball related. I didn't know it was called the Waste Warriors, but I did know there was a program. I'm certain it was for both male and female athletes.
Okay, they did. I do recall them competing in the SBL. They were often sort of towards that lower end of the table and fielding a lot of younger kids and sort of that development program. So hopefully they've rejigged that a little bit and maybe taking on some of that Australian Centre of Excellence sort of mindset and programming as well.
Yeah, and I think because of those facilities and because of the, I think the way that basketball's changed its popularity over the last, over the last 5 years, you know, people will want to come out here. Like, they're not feeling like coming to Perth is going to send them sort of in a backwards direction because of the program that they've got in place. So, well, I'm excited about it. I think it's a great initiative, and look, I'm looking forward to seeing what eventuates in that sort of space.
And Charles, we had an opportunity actually to chat in the lead up to the grand final last year in the NBL One West, and talking about you wanting to be involved and expanding your expertise in the field of basketball and different opportunities that have helped you get to where you were at that point, and now obviously heading over to the New Zealand WNBL. And I want to talk about your NBL One West offseason in the NBL at the Perth Wildcats, being their operations and logistics manager, and seeing a basketball team organization from that perspective, where everyone's full time in basketball. What did you gain from that experience, and how did you sort of see that? What did you not know going into that August, September, and now sitting here now? What do you take away from that and help you in your future?
Well, firstly, I just want to say how resilient those guys are. You know, to leave home on December 27th and not get back till March 3rd was us not really knowing when we're going to come back. The way that those athletes held themselves and stayed committed and stayed focused and stayed locked in, even with bouts of COVID throughout that period, was really impressive. As you expect at that level, their whole way of life is basketball, so they're highly professional. I guess the things I'm taking away from the experience the most is really some confidence that the things that I was doing at NBL One level translate to the NBL and translate to professional basketball, which was exciting. The fact that it's built confidence that I can come in and take a job in New Zealand and being a top league in their country and know that I can compete and do a great job. I think that was really important. I think a lot of us that have been in that second tier for a long period of time, because we're not around it, we don't understand what it takes. So just to get some confidence that I was doing the right things was really important. And then just the daily habits, what those guys do on the day-to-day, they're always working on their body, they're always working on the basic skills. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary, but they're doing everything they do very, very well and with a high level of intensity and then a high attention to detail, you know, and just the sort of accountability that they hold themselves to and their teammates as well. It's a step up from what we've had in the NBL One. And I feel like I've had some great teams that are highly professional at NBL One level, but it's another step when it's your full-time job. And, you know, every performance can count towards you getting another contract or not. So great experience. And I couldn't be happier that I took it. and obviously great support from the organisation when we're away for as long as we were. So yeah, I'm very, very happy that I was able to pursue that and be involved and meet some great people along the way.
It's been, myself included, so many people who spent their Friday nights being part of the Red Army to watch Bryce Cotton do what he does in front of the packed out RSC Arena. And you had the opportunity to sort of be with that team for an 8-month period, and you get to see all the behind the scenes, the day-to-day stuff. And he is what I believe is arguably one of two best players of all time for the Perth Wildcats and even in the NBL more broadly. What did you see as a point of difference about Bryce in the day-to-day?
I guess the biggest thing that I'll take away from Bryce is he's the most unselfish superstar I've ever seen. Like, he's so willing to get everyone else involved, and he doesn't necessarily want the spotlight. He wants to go out there and play ball. He loves it. You can tell it, and every day he loves it. He's a great leader. He holds people to a really high standard, and obviously he holds himself to those standards as well. But he gets around the group too. Like, yeah, he's just very, very unselfish, and like I didn't know what to expect coming in, but that really stood out for me. Just he genuinely cares about the people around him, and I think he's a legacy guy as well. He wants to win. Like, I think this season will cut everyone deep, but it'll definitely cut him deep as well because of the sort of standard that he holds himself to. So, outstanding human being. Obviously works extremely hard and is highly talented, but extremely unselfish and just a genuinely good human being, which I think is key. And I think what I've tried to do in the past is recruit great people, and the Wildcats have definitely done that with him.
Well, Charles, we thank you so much for your time and coming on the NBL One West Radio Show, and we wish you all the best with your endeavours heading over to the New Zealand Southern Hoiho, and I believe you're departing early next month, is that right?
Yeah, so I've got 2 weeks at home trying to spend as much time with the kids as I can, and then I'll be out. So, yeah,
right.
thanks for having me on the show, really appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck, and we look forward to keeping in contact and checking your progress over there.
Thanks. See you guys.
Thanks a lot.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au. Two, zero,
one, five. Yeah, they're so good. The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Back to wind things up here on the NBL One West Radio Show. Trust you enjoyed our chats with Coach Charles Nix. We had Christina Bogue from the Rockingham Flames. We also spoke with Ollie Hayes-Brown, who you probably know from the Perth Wildcats, but also plying his trade in the NBL One West at the Willerton Tigers. We'll take a look at some of the games for this upcoming weekend. It's going to be round 8 action. You can see all of the fixtures over at nblone.com.au or download the brand new NBL One app as well. Game of the round, Ben. It's a biggie.
Yeah, in particular, we're taking it down to Mike Barnett Sports Complex. The men's and the women's games there on Saturday night, tipping off at 6 p.m. First of all, the Rockingham women taking on the Willerton Tigers. And I think that game there is our game of the round for our women's. Hopefully, we have Taya Burrows back. We have the battle of the Perth Lynx guards there, Emma Gandini and Taya Burrows. Then we've got Brosman coming off a big game. Her matchup with Des Kelly would be really big. And then obviously inside with Bogue going up against Sharp and potentially Lubke if she's back. And then Taylor Hepburn coming in off the bench. I like this matchup for both teams. Both teams have got some strengths. Both teams got ways that they can alleviate the other team. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Alex Sharp. She's been a little bit quiet by her lofty standards, but she's taken over in quarters. She took over in quarters against the Perry Lakes Hawks, and then last week against the Lakeside Lightning, she just made sure that they got it done. My tip for Saturday night at the Hot House at the Mike Barnett Sports Complex, I think it's the Willerton Tigers in a close one by 7.
Christina Bogue seemed to fancy their chances. She reckons they got a bit of form coming off last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at them and they had some contributions out of Brosman, which she'd had that interrupted sort of start to the season. But going 40-plus points against the Cobourne Cougars, who are an in-form team. Don't take that away from the Cobourne Cougars. They've been red hot. And so for her to come out and do that, and of course they've got Bogue now, potentially Burrows to come back, and then have some good contributions off their bench. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. But I think the Willerton Tigers just have that edge on all the teams in the comp right now.
It's set to be an equally good matchup in the men's as well, the Flames-Tigers.
Yeah, we're turning our attention to the men, and I want to focus on the visitors right now. We spoke earlier in tonight to Ollie Hayes-Brown. We talked about his transition, and I liked his calm and collected nature about him when we were chatting to him. It sort of comes across in the game. He has a quiet double-double by halftime against the Southwest Slammers. He was a lot more of a force to be reckoned with against the Lakeside Lightning, and his matchup, the old and the new, the coming of age of what the Wildcats used to love in Tom Jervis, and then what they can love in the future in Ollie Hayes-Brown. They've got that matchup there as well. You'll see the matchup of Hire and Vigor, and of course, Devondrick Walker. I think that we'll see Damien Scott go to him. You may even see Dylan Hampson guard him a lot of the time. He was the one who went to Scott Machado, but he'll guard him as well. And then, of course, we've got Marshall Nelson and Hunter Clark at the point guard positions.
A quick run through all of the men's fixtures for the weekend. We'll get your tip spend and see how we roll. The one that you're calling on KO on the Friday night, the Redbacks will host the East Perth Eagles. Who you got?
Yeah, I think the Perth Redbacks will get the job done.
At Active West Stadium, the Geraldton Buccaneers, hopefully COVID-free by then, hosting the Eastern Suns.
Yeah, I think that's a tough road trip for the Eastern Suns. They had a tough game against the Warwick Senators last Saturday night up there at Tip Top Stadium, Active West Stadium, should I say. Yeah, I think that they get the job done.
Joondalup Wolves hosting the visiting Mandurah Magic.
Yeah, I think that's probably almost the second game of the round. A lot of great basketball for our men's action this weekend. And yeah, I think the Joondalup Wolves, No, I'm going to go Magic.
Okay, the Warwick Senators travel down to the Eaton Rec Centre. The Southwest Slammers coming off that good win in the men's. Can they get another one?
A team with all the momentum in the Southwest Slammers, and the team that I think the best organisation in the NBL 1 West right now, the Warwick Senators. I think they continue their winning ways.
The Coburn Cougars host the Perth Redbacks in what will be their second fixture of the weekend for the Redbacks. Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. there at Wally Hagen.
Must win for the Coburn Cougars, man, to continue the momentum they had at the start of the season. A tough loss last week against the Rockingham Flames. I think the Cougars, on their home deck, I think they get the job done.
The Goldfields Giants travel down to Lakeside Rec Centre to take on the Lightning.
The Lightning only, of course, had that one win this season. I think the Goldfields Giants, they get the win. It'll be a tight one, but they're going really, really well under Coach Wayne Creek this season.
And the final game of the weekend is a Sunday. Bit of an unusual tip-off. The men at 1 p.m. Sunday. The Perry Lakes Hawks hosting the Goldfield Giants on the second leg of their double road trip.
Well, the Perry Lakes Hawks will be fit and fresh. They've got Adam Thoseby, who has come of age. He took a little while to get going. We saw him had a big game against the Perth Redbacks in the second of their doubleheader. The Goldfields Giants on the back of their back-to-back, they're used to that. Perry Lakes Hawks, in other terms, had the 8-day break, and they'll win on Sunday action.
Well, you can see all of the games around your local association. Check those out at nbl1.com.au. And, of course, you can stream all of those games live through the website, or you can even check out that special Friday night one that you're on the call for, of course, as usual, Ben, on the KO Freebies.
Yeah, we'll be on the KO Freebies coming from Belmont Oasis. 6:30 tip-off for the women, 8:30 for the men, the women. The East Perth Eagles, they beat the Redbacks last time. And of course, in the men, it was they got the 2-for-2. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Friday night. I think it will be the Redbacks winning both those games.
Hope you've enjoyed the NBL One West radio show for this week. If you'd like to check out more or give us a listen on the podcast, you can search for NBL One West radio show on Podomatic, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, or whichever podcast provider you like to use. Until next week, from Brett and Ben, do take it easy. You've been with the NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.